Hi, my name is Emma Lively. I'm a senior religious studies major here at Swanee, the University of the South, lover of community, and overall religion nerd. I want to welcome you to my new podcast, Religion is Everywhere. This is the podcast where we look at the line between secular and religion and investigate just how infused religion and religiosity is in our world. Ever since I was a kid, I have been fascinated with religion and how people experience it, which ultimately led me to becoming a religious studies major, and in a desire to share what I have learned with others, this podcast project was born. Throughout the podcast, we'll be using what I've learned as a religious studies major to understand how religion shows up in people's lives. Our episode today is called You, Me, Us, and Religion, and I'll be talking to students and staff on Swanee's campus to share their stories about how community, especially on a college campus, can promote religious experiences and what that means to people. Our first episode will be drawing on scholar Melissa Wilcox's theories around community and religion, and we'll be utilizing the narrative methodology used by Alice Walker and Saba Mahmood to understand people's religious experiences. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. Let's jump in. Just as I've been fascinated by religion, so too have I been fascinated with the importance of communities in people's lives. While our assumptions around religion might predicate on personal faith and internal beliefs, community plays a role in multiple religious traditions, from Christianity's congregations to Buddhism's sanghas to Wiccans, covens, and new religious movements' intentional communities. Throughout the semester, I began to wonder what role community plays in people's understanding and experiencing of religion, and if in secular settings, could community even be creating religious experiences for people? I decided to go to the source and ask people on Swanee's campus about community and religious experiences. I first spoke to someone who has spent years watching communities like these form on college campuses in both a religious and secular manner, our very own interfaith chaplain, Amanda Gott. Here's what she had to say about the connection between community and religious experiences. Hi, I'm here with Amanda Gott. Thank you so much for meeting with me. If you want to introduce yourself and talk about your role here at Swanee, that'd be great.
Okay, my name is Amanda Gott, and I am the interfaith chaplain. So part of my role on campus is to make sure that students, all students, are able to have what they need and be supported in their religious or spiritual life, whatever it might look like to that student. And so a lot of the students have their spiritual needs met on campus with groups on campus or through All Saints Chapel or through student groups organized around religious or spiritual identity. And some students turn to resources outside of campus, and some students just kind of put together their own ways of tending to their spirituality. But my job is to make sure that students have what they need to thrive spiritually and explore their spirituality and to live into their spiritual selves here on campus.
That's awesome. Thank you. So part of this project is examining how community itself can be a religious experience, especially on a college campus. So people find religion within the different explicitly religious organizations on campus, but then also there may be other things that they spiritually connect with. So as the interfaith chaplain here at Swanee, have you ever observed a student community that resembled religious expression, even if the community itself was not explicitly religious?
Yes, all the time. So community in and of itself is deeply spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
When students find that group of people that is their people, you know, the folks that they stay up with late at night in the dorm talking about really important life stuff and talking about, who am I? Who do I want to be? What am I doing with my life? Why am I here? What's my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
That's a spiritual experience. And the communities that we have those conversations in are spiritual communities. And so there's a lot of not just like official clubs, but also mm-hmm. like those unofficial kind of friend groups and affiliations on campus, where students find their people with whom they can talk about those big life things and work through those questions and figure out who they are and who they're becoming and what their purpose in life is and what all this craziness means.
Right. You know, absolutely. Like, yeah.
That's spiritual work. And anytime you find yourself in a community of people connecting on that level and having those conversations, I would argue it's a spiritual thing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I agree.
It doesn't necessarily have to mean believing in God or a
right.
God or
it's the meaning making system.
Yeah.
It's the gathering together to share of things. Yeah. Durkheim calls it effervescence. So yes. When people gather together, that and there's some sort of ritual thing or mm-hmm. deep conversation or meaning making, effervescence bubbles up within
right.
the community.
Or numinous, which is my one yeah. of my favorite words from my religious studies days. Yeah. You know, where do people experience the numinous? And
mm-hmm.
for a lot of folks, that's out in the woods and not in, you know, church walls or chapel
yeah.
walls. And so if somebody is experiencing the transcendent or the numinous out in the woods, then that's just as important to support. And so that's why that's important to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for all your work and for speaking with me today.
You're welcome.
After talking to Chaplain Gott, I got into contact with some students involved in different communities across campus. Three undergraduate students agreed to share with me their experiences with religion and community. These are their stories.
Well, hello. Thank you for joining me. Would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Joey Pescarella. I'm here interviewing about the Suwannee Outing Program.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Tell me a little more about the Suwannee Outing Program.
Yes, so it's just it's a university funded group here. We've got two paid non-college students working there. John Benson is the director of the program. It's been there for 20 some years, and then an assistant director, Dan Harper, has been here a couple of years, and then it's mostly just a bunch of student leaders leading trips that any student can come on through. Free for the most part, except for some really big trips that go for weeks. And we just kind of explore our domain out here.
That's really amazing. So my next question for you is, just thinking about the community that is the Suwannee Outing Program and kind of the experiences that you have, makes me think about what religious studies scholar Melissa Wilcox talks about in her book, her chapter on communities in her book, Queer and Religiosities. And the chapter talks about how people create chosen communities, either long-term or briefly, which sounds like can be the case for the Suwannee Outing Program, and how there's a religiosity that comes up within this community. So at some point in your involvement with the Suwannee Outing Program, have you ever experienced something that might have felt religious or something that resembled religiosity?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting you're bringing up that short-term and the long-term, because
mm-hmm.
I definitely do feel that. On the one hand, the SOP community is really large. There's about 100 some student leaders, and then there's all of the people who just come on trips otherwise, and so there's that larger long-term community there, but then there's also been a lot of very acute religious experiences on a small
mm-hmm.
group that's just on one trip, that's just maybe a dozen people or so. First ones that come to mind for me are in the times that we've been doing very difficult things when we're bound together as a group, climbing up a mountain during a blizzard, crawling
yeah.
over stuff. It just sucks at the moment, but the people that you're there with are people that you want to be there with.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to the completely arbitrary top of the mountain, it still feels like it means something there.
Yeah, it's really about the people that you're experiencing it with. That make it special.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah.
And then also just the place that you're at, you know, the community isn't just the people that's around you, but also the place that you're at, especially here on the domain where
mm-hmm.
you've got such a connection to the land that's we can keep on coming back to the same places that I feel that really strongly. For example, when we go on our caving trips, we'll usually stop at some point and do a lights out, where we turn off the lights on our headlamps, and just sit there in quiet together for a while. And sometimes we'll do a little guided meditation or something, talking
mm.
about how strange it is to see that complete darkness and then just feel the land around you, think about how old it is or how big it is, and yeah, it really brings people together and it does feel like you're a part of something greater.
Yeah, that's really special and significant. There's a community, the connection to the land. Is there anything else that kind of sparks that religiosity, or is there something that more you want to speak to about that community and land that makes it feel religious?
I don't know. I mean, it's also just cool with group that I'm with, that there's kind of generations within it. You know, you've got mm-hmm. your freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, and the learning that's passed on and the stories that are passed on with that. You know, there's not really any formal training for most SOP stuff and leadership stuff. It's all just oral knowledge that's passed on from people saying, remember that spot right there? That's where Brian fell, so you want to be avoiding that one. You gotta go through here, and oh yeah, that spot, we call that the American dream, for the way that you try to climb to the top and you slide back down in the cave. So you're gonna want to watch out for that one there. It's really special to have that deep community there that connects mm-hmm. back through a long time. And people are taking on different roles in the different stages of their life at Suwannee.
That's really amazing. Do you mind talking some more about how your role within that community has changed?
Yeah, I mean, I came in and I was pretty gung-ho about the just being outdoors when I was a freshman, and I'll admit it, I was a snot-nosed kid with way more enthusiasm than sense, so I was going through and there was a lot of, Joey, don't do that, that's stupid, you're gonna fall and hurt yourself. But then as I did fall and hurt myself, or continued to go through and kept on going on trips from people who were seniors when I was a freshman, they taught me a lot, and then I became a sophomore and became a leader myself, and then learned from experience and learned from those other people, so that now I'm leading a lot more trips and leading other leaders, you know, being able mm-hmm. to pass along some of that wisdom that I've learned and the little bit that I've accumulated myself, so that now I'm in much more of a leadership role among other leaders. Like, they'll come to me with questions about how to get to a place, what to do when we're there, just how to handle certain situations, kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you think you felt kind of that religiosity in the community when you, more or less, more as a leader or less as a leader, or has it stayed the same, just looked differently?
It's definitely looked differently, you know. When I, to go back to that caving with the lights mm-hmm. out, when I was a freshman, I would go in, and it was my first time ever being in a cave, and it was such a strange, also a novel experience for me to mm-hmm. see that complete darkness for the first time in my life. I was kid in awe as the seniors would recount these 10-minute long poems in the dark, or be guiding us through that meditation stuff. But now, as time's gone on, I'm the one doing that, and mm-hmm. so it's a different circumstance that I'm now the one guiding through those religious experiences, where, you know, sometimes I'll admit my brain almost goes on autopilot as I'm repeating some of those things. But I know that, I've been told from the people who are experiencing it for the first time or for the 10th time or something, that they do still feel something each time they're doing so.
Yeah, it becomes almost a ritual for you at this point, which is really can be meaningful in that practice and routine of it, just as it was meaningful when you first experienced it in awe.
Yeah, and we're in different places in that ritual, mm-hmm. For the people within it. There's people first entering the ritual, people who have been doing it a lot but are still learning the words that mm-hmm. for me to be telling them, and then me who's done it too many times to count.
Yeah. That's really awesome. Well, do you have any other stories that you would like to share with us?
This isn't, I guess I could talk a little bit about where we are right now.
Yeah, tell us about where we are.
So right now we're at Morgan Steep at sunset, per my request.
Yes, a great request.
Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily a Suwannee outing program, program specific thing, but just, you know, outdoors people are mm-hmm. generally going to be here most nights. I'm out here most nights usually there will be a couple of other people that will be joining me, a rotating cast of characters. And yeah, it's just cool to be so connected with this one place of Morgan Steep and of the sunset, and you know, seeing how far it moves, like the 90 degree angle that it moves at from north to south and where it sets, to see, to be familiar with the types of clouds that come up each time, and then just to see something really beautiful once a day, and have that ritual as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you feel like a connection and a community with the land here?
I definitely do. Yeah, sometimes I'll be guided into a place just randomly off trail. Like, there's no really good way to know how to get there if you haven't been there before. Mm-hmm. But and people will be asking me, like, Joey, it looks like you have no idea where you're going, you're just wandering, but then somehow we get there. I usually tell them, yeah, I mean, you just make friends with the land, and it's always easy enough to ask directions.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Yeah.
So there's definitely trees and rocks and stuff that I've seen so many times, mm-hmm. that they're very familiar, and they're the way through, and usually a strange story attached to each of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Befriend the trees and the rocks. Yeah, good people to talk to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they don't tend to be talking back too, which is sometimes nice.
Yeah, no judgment, just sometimes, listening.
Yeah, sometimes they do though, you know, if I've been walking wrong, I haven't been paying attention properly, and then they smack me right in the head.
Yeah, gotta keep you focused,
mm-hmm.
and in tune. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Any last words you want to share with us about your community and religious experience with the Swanee Outing Program?
Yeah, and I think that one darker aspect of that level of community with the SOP is that a lot of people do find it to be pretty exclusionary, you know, that some of the things that we do are things that a lot of people could never imagine themselves doing, you know, climbing a mountain in a blizzard, swimming through rapids in a cave or something, and they are hard things to do. And so I do understand that a lot of people feel like they can't join in that community. And yeah, that's definitely an aspect that I wish that we could, or that I do attempt to try to break down those barriers somewhat, but yeah, I do think that that's an aspect of that community, is that exclusion there, that when people are bound so tightly together, it can be hard to enter into it. Not impossible, of course, you know,
right.
Like everyone had to join at some point, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's just something I think is worth bringing up.
Yeah, holding space and acknowledging that community can be not as permeable as we think it is, just because we're a part of it.
Yeah, it feels very easy for me now to think about joining the community, but I was afraid to sit with at the same clerk table as those mm-hmm. seniors when I was a freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The importance of reaching back to a broader community to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me and for inviting me out here this evening. This is a great ritual to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Would you mind introducing yourself for the people on the podcast?
Yeah, so my name's Mary Browder Howell. I'm a senior math major with a Spanish minor. And I'm on the golf team here at Swanee.
Amazing. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you some questions about, like, what it's like to be on the golf team and what, like, that community looks like. So if you want to give some background information about the golf team and, like, your involvement with it, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I've been playing golf since I could hold a club. But I joined the golf team here at Swanee because I wanted a community.
Mm-hmm.
We had everybody from 7th grade to seniors on my high school golf team, so there wasn't that much of a close, tight-knit community yeah. there. And I really have found a pretty good community here with that, because we practice about 20 hours a week, sometimes with each other, sometimes not. We've got workouts twice a week, and then we travel a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of together time.
A lot of together yes. in the Swanee vans.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Lots of goodness there. Well, that's awesome. So part of the reason why I've asked you today is to talk about that golf team community and thinking about like community and religiosity. So the religious studies scholar Melissa Wilcox has a chapter on communities in her book, Queering Religiosities. And in it, she talks about how people have created or chosen communities, and within that community space, like religiosity like bubbles up and is either created by that community or already in place, and it's just like strengthened by it. So at some point in your involvement with the golf team, have you felt it be like a religious experience or hold a religiosity?
I think first I need to define religiosity.
Absolutely.
So to me, there's a difference between religiosity and spirituality.
Sure.
We had a conversation with Dante the other day. Mm-hmm. Gotta shout him out on this one. But so religion to me is more of a practice. It's more of a, here's a social community, mm-hmm. Where we all do something in common. Yeah. And then spirituality is more of like a personal, internal, emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely. Golf and being on the golf team is a religious experience. Because we all do things together. We all practice the same religion.
Yeah.
If you want to go there. So yeah, we all have a common goal, shared interest, all that fun stuff. And it really is just a conduit for community.
Yeah.
For me. And we do break bread together. We have team dinners every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can go with so many different things with the golf team here. And then spirituality, the other side of religiousness, is like, I have always kind of found a sort of peace, when being on the golf course. One of the ways that I center myself and I find myself is at dusk on the golf course when I'm completely alone. And typically, like, at my home course in Murray, you can see the sunset on number one, so I'll just, like, go practice on that hole and just, like, take a moment and be in the moment.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes along with, like, how I experience, like, kind of spirituality in, like, sort of the traditional sense of religion,
mm-hmm.
Where, like, in nature, that's where I feel closest to God.
Yeah.
So, like, being there, being just, like, doing this almost mindless, repetitive thing, it's almost meditative.
Yeah. Definitely. I can totally see that. That's awesome.
I feel kind of at peace now just talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, even thinking about it kind of brings you back to that space.
Yes.
Kind of centers you.
Yes.
So doing that practice. In religious studies, we might call that ritual. So doing that ritual is really important and centering.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Are there any rituals that y'all as a golf team have together? Besides, like, breaking bread and things like that.
Let's see. Well, maybe not as a team, but, like, everyone has their own pre-shot routine, pre-game warm-up.
Mm.
That's kind of a ritual. So, like, I have this same routine that I do every single time I step up to hit a shot, whether it's a putt or a drive or anything in between.
We can come back to it.
Yeah, let's come back to that.
Are there other specific things about being on the golf team that you want to talk about that make it feel, like, religious? It can be community aspect, other things about it.
The golf team really does a good job of, like, surrounding you, kind of in, like, an embracing mindset, because, like, we're all working towards a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really powerful, and it's really nice to have had that support group coming in and just, like,
mm-hmm.
being a constant throughout my time here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you're fishing for here that can spark anything for me?
No, I've spoken to some other people about, like, their religious community experiences, and something someone talked about was, like, moving from being a, like, new member of their group to being, like, a leader in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have... Do you feel like that mirrors your journey in golf, or does it look differently?
So I was really nervous coming into Swanee. Like, I'd never been on, like, a team where I had that many people, like, who I could play with and, like, compete with. And, like, I didn't really know what I was doing at first. And then that helped me not only become a stronger member of the Swanee community, or of the golf community, helped me become a stronger member of the Swanee community, and helped me grow as a person. I became more confident and sure of myself because of my involvement on the golf team. So kind of tapped into who I am, because it forced me to confront myself in some ways.
That's a good reflection. Part of religion can be personal growth and reflection, kind of like a reflection on morals, where you're going, things like that.
A large part of golf is the mental game. So that kind of goes with the spirituality, because, like, a golf swing is a golf swing. But you do have to be in tune with yourself to be able to play at your best. I don't know where I was going with this. But, like, just being more sure of yourself allows you to perform better on the course. And part of that is being supported by your teammates instead of being torn down. So it's really nice to have them, because, like, we're all competing with each other for spots on the team, but once we're there, we're there. And it's a lot of love, a lot of support.
It's reflective to me of, like, Buddhist Sangha communities. So Buddhism can be a very, like, mental practice, very meditative practice. But then part of it is being in community with each other, being connected to other people, and have, like, the support that comes out of that. And so I can kind of see how those things are reflected in each other.
And I even did talk about, like, a meditative practice.
Like, the personal meditative practice that comes out of golf, or comes out of meditation in Buddhism, where you're trying to, like, detach from things and remove yourself from suffering. But part of that is being in community. You can't do those things alone. You're connected. Everything's connected to each other. That's where karma comes from. So, yeah, kind of that. You're doing, you know, your golf swing by yourself, but, and it's meditative practice on your own, but you're part of a greater community that's supporting you and supporting your, like, game, so you, like, in your mental best, so that you can perform your best.
It's nice to have that balance.
That's really amazing. I like that. I'm trying to think of, well, there's one last thing I wanted to ask. Is there anything else that you want to speak about for golf or other campus communities?
I am involved in quite a few different communities on campus, including the Sacrists Guild. So I have reflected quite a bit on religion. But golf and the Sacristans Guild are my strongest communities on this campus. And I think it's because we both have a common goal in mind, and we're both kind of working towards that common goal. And we support each other.
The shared value.
Yes.
In community.
Yes.
It's important. Well, that's all I have. If you have any other things that you want to share about being part of golf or your religious experience with it, now's the time. But if not, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Yay. Well, hello. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Madam Liveland.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what community you're representing today.
Yes, my name is Allie McCaslin. I am a junior from the great state of Arkansas, and I am representing Kappa Delta, or maybe Greater Greek Life. I don't know. Kappa Delta.
Kappa Delta specifically, but also can kind of speak to some of the Greek Life stuff, having been on Katie's Greek Council. So, do you want to give us some, like, background about that, your involvement with it?
So I am now in my finishing up my second year as a Katie, which is crazy. Feels like I just joined. Greek Life was not necessarily something that was at all a priority for me going into an undergrad experience. It's not really something I considered, but something I found myself kind of naturally gravitating towards, and especially with Sewanee, like, I think Greek life means something different here.
Yeah.
But I just rego member, and I really love the community that it brought me, and I wanted to give back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I then became vice president within for the last year, and I just finished up my term.
Yeah.
So now I can spill all the secrets.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much. Part of being in Greek life is, like, the community.
Mm-hmm.
So do you mind speaking a little bit about what that community looks like?
Like, in terms of just, like, my sorority or just Greek life as a whole?
We can speak to, like, Katie and then, like, your greater observances, okay, too, if you want.
Yeah, no. I really love the sense of community that I feel in KD because we all are so different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, this harmony.
Yeah.
That's, like, it's like an unexpected harmony, mm-hmm, that I really love. And, you know, I can't help but think, I don't know, it feels like girlhood.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I don't think girlhood has to be exclusive to gender.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that genuine feeling of camaraderie and just, like, wholesome fun.
Yeah. I always think of it as, like, a deep joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to, again, be exclusive to only, like, female-identifying people. Like, we are open to anyone wanting to be a part of that girlhood. Because it's just fun. It's silly. Yes. I love to be silly.
Me too.
I'm a number one advocate for silliness.
Yeah.
And I really feel like KD is a community that has, like, really empowered who I am and helped, mm-hmm, me find that.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful for it.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a religious studies scholar named Melissa Wilcox, and she has a chapter in her book, Queering Religiosities, about communities and how people create communities or choose communities, and within that, like, a religiousness or religiosity kind of springs up out of it. So is there anything about being in KD that kind of creates a religiosity to it?
So, like, how just so I can answer it fairly, like, mm-hmm, how is religiosity, like, defined?
Sure. So there's lots of different definitions. Mm-hmm. Some religious scholars see it as, like, based off of rituals and practice. Some define it as the separation between sacred and profane.
Mm-hmm.
Others see it is based off community, and that's, yeah, what is the religious thing. Others see it as, like, shared belief systems. If you want to, you can kind of speak to, like, what your reflection of religion is.
Uh-huh.
If you want to, like, and then if that maps onto it.
Yeah. Okay, because I think my, you know, I don't know if this will prove to be, like, unhelpful,
no,
to your thing, but, like, I think my perspective of religion is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, this is going to be a tangent.
That's
that
totally
will then
fine.
Explain my thought, yeah, process going into, mm-hmm, how I view religiosity, yeah, in Katie.
Absolutely.
So there's a purpose for the tangent I'm going on. So I come from family mix of, like, Baptist and Catholic, mm-hmm, you know, oil and water. And then, you know, I lived in Little Rock, public school systems became unsafe, went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And that gave me a really interesting, like, formal introduction to what religion is. I was not a cradle baptism. My family wanted me to understand, like, what it means, mm-hmm, and, like, make that my decision. And, you know, I was like, I want to get the dope host. Like, I don't want to be sitting in the pew. I don't want to be lame. I'll get baptized. Why not? Okay. Sick. And then in the Catholic Church, because then once you get baptized when you're older, you also confirm, mm-hmm, since you're already, like, you know, like, okay, yep, yeah, I'm choosing to be baptized, therefore I can confirm.
Yeah.
And then in the Catholic Church, you choose, like, a saint to live, mm-hmm, your life by. And I chose, because they would give us, like, these little lessons, coloring, mm-hmm, books, And I chose Saint Therese. Mm. And it's like God's little flower, like the joy in doing the little things. And that's so how beautiful. You serve the Lord through the little things. I honestly just thought she had a dope coloring page. Mm-hmm. And I liked that she was French. I was having a really big, like, French feminism bit there. I also loved Curie.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
no,
another
so
part
like,
of girlhood.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's canon experience. You have to have one fixation on Marie Curie. Anyways, so with Therese, it's like God's little flower doing little things. Okay, yeah, dope. Well, then, like, I moved to Bentonville. I leave the Catholic Church. And, like, that's when I saw the distinction between faith and religion.
Mm-hmm.
I more so my faith, religion, I kind of had a mistrust with.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I've brought myself back into religion is through the sacristans.
Yeah.
Because I love doing those little services,
mm-hmm.
those little things. And I've realized, like, I've actually, the way I model myself in religion is through, like, Saint Therese. Of,
yeah.
Like, I find joy in building community through the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And the small things that seem so mundane, like, how that can actually serve someone and
mm-hmm.
maybe whatever religious experience they're going through, being able to, like, kind of be a background of that.
Yeah.
That's where I found my joy in religiosity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Because
I'm also not a religious studies major. This is me just, like...
No,
there's probably a different word for it. It's more academic.
That's really, really beautiful. And part of religious studies is, like, going to practitioners of religion and asking practitioners to define what religion means to them. So
mm-hmm.
this is actually a
yeah.
beautiful religious
okay,
studies
lovely.
Practice. You're being really academic right now.
Okay, academic this is not academic language, but AF.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Academic AF.
Yes.
But, like, I've just really find joy in being, because I feel like a lot of, to me, like, I am a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that a lot of living away in the life of God is finding a genuine joy for his creation, and
mm-hmm.
that means a love for yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And being able to be a part of that for people, helping people find that love and joy in themselves,
mm-hmm.
is how I, like, I guess, you know, go forth and spread the gospel. And I think doing the small things in KD,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, everything from, like, making sure, I mean, this sounds so little, but the house is clean, so it's a safe
yeah.
space for people to crash if they're having a bad day. Or, you know, someone's having a hard time and feeling a lot of pressure. It's like, no, like, telling people that you're capable
mm-hmm.
and you are enough. And I think that's a lot of KD is telling people, you're not just enough, you're more than enough.
Yeah.
And being able to do, like, the behind-the-scenes little
mm-hmm.
tasks that keep that institution going is how I, like, view me. Like.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
That makes
pretty
so much sense. That's really beautiful.
I feel like, you know the Muppet Scooter?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like Scooter
mm-hmm.
is, like, background for, like, hoping people to find a love for themselves.
Yeah. I really love that. I really love the connection between St. Therese and then the sacristans, KD. I think that's really beautiful. And then part of this has been asking people, like, how they've been a part of community
mm-hmm.
and how communities have uplifted them. But it's really lovely to hear someone talk about how they create space for that community to be. And part of that is making sure that space is clean, or in the Sacristans Guild, it's setting out the elements, or
like
setting the table and things like that.
Seeing, like, you know, in KD, you see someone sitting by themselves studying in the library,
mm-hmm.
it'd be really easy, like, oh, they're just trying to focus right now. No, bombard people with love.
Yeah.
And figure out how people want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think it's given me so many opportunities to meet people.
Yeah.
And, like, figure out, like, get to know them on an individual level of, like, how to, like, how do you communicate to their heart that you love them? That's
yeah.
a different language for everyone, and figuring that out is what I, like, I love that puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really fun.
Yeah, that's key to community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just try to translate someone's heart.
Yeah. That's really amazing. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to share about the religiousness of Katie or Greek life as a bigger picture?
You know, I think I think Greek life is a really interesting space because, I mean, in the Western part of the world, we live in a very individualist society. But this is the one realm where we really show collectivist, like, behavior. So, like, the actions of one person, that reflects on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that can become very obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
But if done well and through a collective sense of well-being, you know, you view an organization as a body.
Yeah.
If one organ's not doing well, then the whole body's shutting down. Like, that collectivist. I think Greek life has the opportunity and potential to be a really great motivator for community,
mm-hmm.
and what and whatever religiosity someone, the what, because that's down to how, that's very subjective how someone defines it.
Yeah.
But it just depends on who wields it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of opportunity for the person in power to maybe change what religiosity means to someone.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. I don't know. I'm trying to connect this to religion. It's really hard.
That's okay.
I don't know. I just think that Greek life is oddly collectivist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really slippery slope.
Yeah.
So, in a position of power, you have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The opportunity to create positive community that can create positive, maybe even religious experiences for people is really present in Greek life. And making sure that you are creating positive experiences for mm-hmm. people and not wielding the power that, the collective power that you have for wrong or evil or harm.
Mm-hmm.
Is an important responsibility.
Yeah. Don't take it lightly.
Melissa Wilcox wrote, "Often the people in our chosen communities understand what we've been through and how we approach life. Often we gain more than understanding from our chosen communities. They may offer us support, empathy, learning, comfort, peace, or growth, and we have things to offer in return. But as we've learned, community is complex. It can be full of love and support, and it can also be impermeable, and the collective power of community can be wielded for harm. Religion is complex too. It is based in the community experiences the students have, and religion is also, from the words of the students, created from what they practice and how they embody religion. Joey, Mary Browder, and Allie's narratives reflect Wilcox's ideas around the importance of community and serves as a reminder of the complexity of religion and how it cannot be easily defined or categorized. As much as I want to point to community and say that this is the source of religion, it is only a small part of a larger narrative. Religion is both a feeling and a practice that can be experienced with a group in a cave or alone while golfing. But for each of these students, there's something special about the connections that are built in their practices and rituals. So community is not the sole creator of religion, but it is a part of the greater religious narrative, is a part of the greater experience. It is in the support of teammates on the golf course. It is the practice of doing the little things for those in your community. And it is the sharing of stories with the underclassmen as you take them on a caving trip. Religion is the practice and rituals we embody, and is also the people we share these rituals with. It is the connection we feel with the trees, our fellow sorority members, and the golf course. Religion is not so easily captured by the walls of the chapel, and for myself and our guest, it can be found wherever people gather over shared values and practice. Religion is everywhere." Thank you so much for listening to Religion is Everywhere. A special thank you to Joey Pascarella, Allie McCaslin, Mary Browder Howell, and Chaplain Amanda Gott for agreeing to share their stories with us. Thank you to Melissa Wilcox for her beautiful religious studies work around community, and thank you to Saba Mahmood and Alice Walker for serving as examples of how to study religion while paying attention to people's personal narratives. And a big thank you to all of my communities who have created religious experiences for me. To continue learning about religion and community, join us next week on the podcast. Thank you.